Everybody all right? I got back from vacation, and my first day in the office, I got there and I saw some things on my door. And one of the children's groups had done that, and I found out later from Maggie, I think, that it was the Kids on Mission. And this is the first one I read, and this one I want to read to you this morning because it's a little bit different. And I thought it was pretty funny. This is how you should pray. Now, this isn't the funny part. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. And then we get to this part. Prayer for Pastor Tom. Help him not mess up or accidentally mess up and lie. Not on purpose. Brennan, did you write this? Okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad that I was, when I was gone, at least I was not forgotten. So that's pretty cool. So, but the rest of them, I just didn't bring the rest of them in. They were all good. I like that part. Please don't let him mess up. Or accidentally mess up and lie. But not on purpose. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. It is it's a great day today to be a Buckeye. I'm just throwing that out today. I'm sorry Kylie wasn't here so she could say something about it, but, you know, you can't get through a service with me in football season where I don't say, O-H. There we go. And so, anyway, if you could open your Bibles to James chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew pocket ahead of you. But the last couple months have been pretty significant for me because of you deal with people who are sick, seriously sick. You deal with people whose lives are starting to fall apart. And we experience a lot of things in life, don't we? Marriage, divorce, birth, death, sickness, feelings of anger. I know you've never been in that one. Resentment, bitterness. We sometimes live in a land of what if, or if only. If only I hadn't done that, or what if I'd done something differently. But, and I've told some people in the past, or in the last couple weeks, you can't go back. You can't go back and change anything. Our daughter Stacy says, you can't unring the bell. You know, when words come out of your mouth, you can't take them back. They're there. We have the idea, too, that people say, well, I just can't forgive myself. You know, I agree with you. You can't forgive yourself. Only God can forgive. We can accept His forgiveness. But it's not up to us. It's not incumbent upon us to forgive ourselves. It is incumbent upon us to come to terms with what's happened in our lives. And we need to do that. You cannot restore broken relationships unless we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't go back. It is an amazing thing. 3 points I want to make today, just three. Learn from the past, live in the present, look to the future. Hey, Wally, I did that preaching class pretty well there, the alliteration. Learn from the past, live in the present, look to the future. Stand up and read the scripture with me this morning. I'll read. You can just kind of follow along. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'd sink your word deep into our hearts where it take root and grow up and produce fruit. Help us to learn from your scripture this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place to do exactly in our lives what you know needs to be done. Father, I pray that we'll be honest enough to see ourselves as we really are and to allow you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to change us, to mold us and make us into the image of Christ. We thank you and praise you for what, not only for what you've done in our lives, for what you're going to do. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Have you ever known somebody who was trapped in the past? They couldn't get beyond things that have happened in their past? I think that what we need to realize is we can overcome that thing. We can overcome whatever has happened in our lives. We just need to follow the example of Paul. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 29, or 21 rather, follow me as I read this. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, lest one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. And, apart from these things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Has any of us ever experienced the things that Paul did? Have any of us in our lives ever suffered like he did? It's a litany of things that went on in his life. You see, when that happens in our lives, when we struggle in life, when all this stuff starts to happen to us, God does it for a purpose. God allows it for a purpose. So what was God trying to teach Paul in all this? In chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. See, there was a situation in Paul's life, and I'm not sure exactly what it is. I don't know. I've heard speculation. I don't know that anyone knows exactly what it is. But there was a thorn in the flesh. 3 times Paul prayed for it to go. Now, I'm not sure about you, but Paul was as close to Jesus as anybody in the New Testament. God used Paul in amazing ways. And he prayed 3 times that this would be taken away from him. Was it? No. God says, we're going to go through it. And here's the reason. Here's the purpose that God had in his life. Verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Why does God allow these things to happen in our lives? So that we can learn His grace is sufficient. So that we can learn that we can trust Him. So that we can learn that He loves us. So that we can be conformed to the image of His Son and be who God wants us to be. Philippians chapter 3 is another one of those types of passages. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, it's an amazing thing that Paul wrote Ephesians, or Philippians and Ephesians, after he wrote 2 Corinthians. This is what he's saying after the fact, after he'd endured all those things. Here's another thing that he writes. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Are you kidding me? Do we find things in our lives that are really hard to rejoice about? And yet he says, I've gone through all this stuff. You can learn to rejoice in the Lord. It's one of those things about joy, and I've told you this before, and you know this already, but I'm going to say it again. The Bible never tells us that we're necessarily going to be happy. Life stinks sometimes. Life is horrible sometimes. But the Bible does tell us we can have joy. And joy comes because of that inner personal relationship we have with Christ. You can lose happiness because happiness is based on circumstances. But you can never have your joy taken away. Because your relationship with Christ is what produces that joy. You can surrender it. And you can learn to live in a valley of, oh, woe is me. Nobody has it as bad as I do. But we can overcome. Rejoice in the Lord. Verse 2, look out for dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised the eighth day of the people of Benjamin, of the tribe of, of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. This Paul's a pretty good dude, isn't he? However, he writes in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul's willing to flush all the stuff, to forget about it, to learn to live in the present and move on with God. And that's something we all have to do. It's something that's not always easy. We have to flush the stuff. You know, let me just read a few more verses. Verse 8. We'll start with 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. All this stuff's happening in Paul's life for a few reasons. One is to be found in him, to know him. The word know here means to know by experience. And that's the way we get to know God best, by our experience. It's not enough to have knowledge in here. It's not. What is important is to have the knowledge of the faithfulness of God and the promises of God being true because of our relationship with him on an ongoing basis, day by day by day by day, deepening that personal relationship we have with Christ. And that personal relationship comes one way. We admit that we're sinners. We admit we need a Savior. We confess that sin to God and ask him to forgive us. And we invite the Lord of the universe. We invite Christ into our hearts. We believe that he is who he said he is. We believe that he can do exactly what he says he can do. In Romans chapter 7, it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You all believe that this morning? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Philippians is my favorite chapter of the Bible, and Philippians is my favorite book. We're going to get to my favorite chapter in a minute. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We want to increase our relationship with God, and we want to know the power of his resurrection, the power that gives us victory in every situation, the power that keeps us moving on, the power that keeps us keeping on. But here's the power we don't want. May share his sufferings. becoming like him in his death. Why is it that we expect to get out of life without suffering? Jesus didn't. Jesus was beaten, spat upon, blindfolded, had a thorn of crowns driven into his head, was nailed to a cross, not because of anything he did, but because of what we've done. How is it that we expect to get out of life without suffering when our Savior did not? And yet, I've done this before. When things are happening in my life, I jump up the gripe tree, run and hide under the grumble bush, because it's easier to do that. It's easier to sink into the valley of, oh, woe is me, than it is to look to him. It's easier to be consumed with what's happening in our lives than it is to begin to look out and see him and allow him to do those things in our lives he already wants to do. To know him, to become like him, to share in his sufferings. It's not something we want, but it's something we absolutely need. When we suffer, we learn to depend on God, not ourselves. My father was born in 1925, right in the middle of the Depression. Some of you, I don't know if anybody else was born that age except Bill. No, I'm just kidding over here. But the statement that came out of the Depression was, you have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. In other words, it's all about you. It's all about what you can do. Listen, the Bible is not all about what you can do. It's all about what he can do. And we need to pay attention to what he can do. He wants to work in and through us. He wants us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to get through all the stuff and come out the other side more like him. And somebody might say, well, you don't understand where I've been. And you don't understand my situation. And I'll tell you, I don't. You're absolutely right, I don't. But I do understand mine. I was abused physically and mentally and emotionally by my father. From the time I was growing up to the time I was about 14 or 15 when I said, that's enough. At times when I was a kid, I lived in fear because my father was controlled by rage. I lived with a man who never made time for me. Never. As a matter of fact, I remember my dad saying to me one time, if you ever have a question about anything, come to me and we'll talk about it. So the inevitable time came when I had a problem. I went to my dad and I said, Dad, let's talk about this. And here's what he said. I don't have time. I don't have time. I never went back. You see, it was a difficult childhood. And as I got older, the things I hated in my father were some of the traits I began to see in me. My dad was controlled by rage, and I still have a temper, but it's not like it used to be. Here's what I know this morning. You can overcome because I did. You don't have to live in the past. You don't have to be trapped in the past. You don't have to let the things that happened in the past affect the way you live now and the way you're going to live in the future. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, these things happened to Paul for this reason. Chapter 12, verse, I think it's about verse 9. I just skipped down. It's verse 9. But he said to me, I'll probably repeat this over and over again this morning. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And there came a time in my life when I realized that I could no longer be like my dad. There was no time, there was no place in my life any longer for the influence I had when I was growing up to continue to influence me from that time on. There came a time in my life where I realized I was a Christian, and Christians need to be different. And so I prayed and said, God, I can't handle this anymore. And just about that time, I came to this passage of Scripture where Paul says through the Holy Spirit, my grace is sufficient. So I'll tell you this morning, there is nothing in your past that you can't overcome through Christ. Nothing. Nothing. So if you're trapped in the past, it's time to look to Him. Ask Him to deliver you. His grace is sufficient. You can't live in the past. But you can live in the present. You see, we learn from things that have happened in our past, and we need to live in the present. The problem is, some of us don't. The key to living in the present is living one day at a time. One day at a time. The passage in James that I read this morning. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. What James is writing here, the most important point of all this, is they're living our lives without God. Living our lives without consulting God before we move forward. Living our lives before consulting God on a day-by-day-by-day basis. We order our lives sometimes and leave Him out. So how is it that we can be effective as believers? How is it that we can live our lives in victory if we leave the one who gives us victory out? The key to all this, the key to everything, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So my question is for all of us this morning, are we there? Do we know whether we've really accepted Christ as our Savior or not? Do we know whether He is a vital, the most vital part of our lives? I don't know how anybody does this outside of Christ. I don't. I really don't understand it. But I do understand how we can do it through Christ. I've not always gotten this stuff right, neither of you. But I know we can overcome. I know because I've experienced that. And you know because you've experienced it. Let the past go. Learn to live in the present. Talk about personal relationship. And I think maybe the last sermon I preached before I went on vacation, I mentioned these two passages. But it's Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 43. I know it's in my Bible somewhere. I'll get there shortly. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says this. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. God's talking about a personal relationship with His people. I know you. I've redeemed you. You're mine. Have you ever thought about yourself that way? Those of us who trust in Christ, have you ever thought about yourself that way? We are His creation. We are those whom He has formed. He has redeemed us. He has called us by name. We belong to Him. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. See, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is there anything God cannot do? Is there anything God will not do for His children? We need to trust Him. When we're going through the fires of life, when everything just seems to be burning up around us, when it seems like we're walking through the very flames of hell itself, He is with us. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. That's an amazing promise of the presence of God, isn't it? God promises us to walk through all the stuff in life. There's nothing that we experience that He doesn't know about. There is nothing that we endure that He does not want to endure with us, for us, through us. We need to understand His presence and His protection and His power to deliver. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. That's the presence of God, isn't it? That's the presence of our Lord with us. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you believe the promises of God this morning? Do you? Do you believe what the Bible says? Do you live by what the Bible says? It doesn't matter what's going on around you. We can get through it. You know, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's Jesus. It's the light of God. He said, I'm the light of the world, isn't He? And I'll tell you what, it's tough sometimes going through the tunnel. You start the tunnel, it may all be black and dark, and it may seem like there's no way out, but the further you get through and the more you endure it, you see the light. And then all of a sudden, all the blackness, all the darkness becomes light because He's with us. He walks through those things with us. He protects us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. You see, it's all about Him. We need to get out of the valley of, oh, woe is me, and get up the mountaintop of, oh, how is He? He has the power to deliver us from whatever we are facing. We need to learn from the past. We need to live in the present. And we need to look to the future. You know, there's some things that I told you we'd get to my favorite chapter of the Bible, and here we go. Philippians chapter 4. How many times have I said that, Rick, since you've been here? More than once. Philippians chapter 4, just listen. And when we are learning from our past, living in the present, and looking to the future, here's some things that are true. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We can learn to rejoice. We can learn to trust Him. We can learn to have complete confidence in Him. We can learn to rejoice in every situation. Is that easy? Absolutely not. Is it necessary? Yes. Because we have victory in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can rejoice in the Lord. We can learn to rejoice in the Lord. Something else, we can learn to overcome weary and stress through the power of prayer. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Anybody ever experienced stress? Anybody? No one here ever been gone through stress? You know, the word here means to strangle. It means to pull in different directions. Have you ever felt that way? Felt that you were just being pulled in a million different directions? Felt like sometimes like the stress was almost so great that it was hard to breathe? It was hard to keep going? Paul writes, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't be anxious. Don't stress out. You see, I used to believe it was a sin to worry, and all of us worry. But I've come to realize it's a sin to dwell on worry. All of us are going to have those thoughts. But we can't live there. We have to look to Him. No matter what's going on in our lives, we have to look to Him. So we can overcome worry, anxiety through the power of prayer. Something else we can do in verse 8, verse 7 rather, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can learn to experience the peace of God that comes from that relationship I was talking about earlier. We have a personal relationship with Christ. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but my peace." The peace from God Himself, God in the flesh, the peace that God wants us to experience, the peace that comes from not being anxious, from not worrying about everything. God wants us to understand His peace and to live in that peace, to experience it. Something else He's done, and here we go, guys. Look up here. This is something we don't do very well. Verse 11. Listen to it as I read. "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." We need to learn to be content. You know, I've made mistakes, haven't you? I just heard, Anyway. I love kids. But we make mistakes. But we put those aside. If we've sinned, we confess that sin and receive Christ's forgiveness. By the way, you will never be able to forgive anyone until you appropriate the forgiveness of God into your life. We need to learn to forgive. Ephesians says, "Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven us." Learn to be content. Well, if everything happens and it's good, I'll learn to be content. Don't allow that nonsense to come into my life, because I will never be content. Are you content with what you have? Used to be, I played golf a lot. Don't play so much anymore. Played probably 5 or 6 times in the last 5 years. But I used to play a lot. And one day I'd go out and I'd play really well and I was content. The next time, not so much. And sometimes my contentment changed on each hole. And I thought, if I just buy a new driver, then everything would be okay. Bought a new driver, same old swing, not okay. Well, if I can't do it with the driver, maybe I'll buy a new set of irons. Bought a new set of irons. What happened, Jerry? Still same old swing. Nothing changed. So I was content when I got them. I got them out of the box, put them in my bag. I thought, woohoo! Go on the golf course, get my new clubs out, swing. The ball still goes, I need a new bag. That was it. I needed new shoes. But all of that stuff was not going to make me content. Having a brand new house, having a brand new car, having all the stuff does not make me content. The only thing that brings real contentment in your life is Him, a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm not finished with chapter 4, by the way. And the reason that all these things are true is verse 13. Take a look, underline it, some of you know it. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." So no matter what's going on in your life, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." You see, sometimes we want to do it on our own. We don't ask for help. You ever been in a situation where you needed help but you were too proud to ask? Anybody? Wrong. That's why God puts others around us. I'm going to tell this story regardless. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you remember a few years ago when I hurt my knee and I couldn't stand? It's when I first started sitting on this stool, and I had to have help getting down off the platform and had to have help getting to my seat. I limped, and there were times I thought my knee was gonna go out. I want you to know there's a friend of mine sitting here this morning who mowed my grass for me when it needed to be mowed. That's a friend. Those are the kind of people who we need in our lives. So no matter what it is you're facing in your life, you need somebody. Surround yourself with people who care about you. Surround yourself with people who care more about you than they care about themselves. There is no better way, no better place to find them than at church. Other believers who care about you regardless of what's going on in your life. Friends who not only will encourage you and provide strength for you, but who will also confront you with things that are happening in your life. Listen, I see this, but you should. I see this, but you ought. Those are the kind of friends we need. We don't need somebody to come along and say, hey, you're a great guy all the time. I want to be like you. Well, I hope people want to be like us. But I don't need a bunch of people around me just yes, yes, yes. I need people who are honest with me, who will tell me what's going on wrong in my life, how I can improve, those kind of things. And I'm not the only one in this room who needs them. So do you. So do you. So quit being so proud, too proud to ask for help. I've learned. I'm going to need help. And one day your phone might ring and I'll be on the other end and say, listen, I need some help today. I need some help this week. How can I get through this? By the way, we're not going to go there. But Paul writes to the church at Corinth, these things have happened to you so that you might help other people in those same situations. We don't go through things just for our own benefit. We go through those situations to help others endure their lives, get through their lives. I'm not done yet. We can trust God to meet our needs. Verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, has God ever went bankrupt? Huh? Has God ever gone bankrupt? Is there anything too hard for God? When the Bible says all things are possible with him, is that true? Then God can meet any need we have. You name it, he can meet it. You dream it up, he can meet it. And one of the things that I know for sure in my life is that God keeps his promises, and if he's ever kept a promise to me, he will keep that same promise to you. I know from experience that he will meet my needs. And if I know, I'm not super special to him. I'm not the only one he's going to act that way toward. If he meets my needs, he will meet yours. If when I call upon the name of the Lord, I'm saved, so will you be when you call upon the name of the Lord. When it gets too tough to walk through the valley on my own, he promises to come with me. And because you've experienced that, I know that I can experience that through him. We need to look to the future. You know God's coming back. You know Jesus is really coming back. Y'all know that? Let me ask you again. Jesus is coming back. Do y'all know that? Yeah. Aren't we to look for that day? Yeah. We look for the day when he comes back. And when he comes back, you know, I've read the end of the book. I've read the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Here's what I know. It's not always easy, but we win. We win through him. We win through his power. There really is victory in Jesus. By the way, that's the last hymn today. I've just changed my mind. I'm allowed to change my mind once in a while, am I? Aren't I? We can't become trapped in the past. We can't be trapped in the past. By the way, everybody talks about the good old days. Were they really? Were they really? Not so much. People say, oh, I'd like to go back and be in high school again. I had a great time in high school, but I'm not going back. You know, some of the deepest hurt I ever experienced in my life was in high school. And as you get older, I don't want to go back. I hope I've lived through those times. I hope that I'm better because of the things that I endured. I hope we all are because of who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. So we've got to get away from being trapped in the past. They're not the good old days. I bought my first house. It was exactly 1 week's pay. I was moaning and complaining about it one day, and my dad happened to say, when I bought my first house, it was exactly 1 week's pay. I guess the more things change, the more they remain the same. So quit being trapped in the past. And what's going to happen is if you get trapped in the past, you're going to be paralyzed by the future. You're not going to want to. Because here's what's happened, and here's what I'm afraid will happen again. Do y'all believe with God all things are possible? Do y'all believe that God gives us strength? Do y'all believe that we really do have victory in Jesus? And if we've experienced those things, here's what I know. And it's not original with me, and I'm not sure who it's original with, but I know that I heard, that I read that Tozer said this once. Whatever God has ever done for anyone, he can and will do for you. Y'all believe that this morning? It's important for us to believe that. Whatever God has ever done for anyone, he can and will do for you. Do you believe? We need to trust him. There's that old hymn, "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." But today we're going to go out singing about victory. We're going to go out knowing that we can through the power of Christ. We're going to go out knowing that everything is possible through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're in this building this morning and you've never had that experience, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I am here. And there are others in this building who will help you develop that relationship with Christ. I'll hang around. I'll be here. If you want to know more about a relationship with Christ, come talk. Be the best thing I ever did. Be the absolute best thing you've ever done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you bring us through.